overlooking Phoenix. From high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios, Patch Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com, the company's officers trust with their online privacy. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the Badge Boys, the show where two retired cops talk to the community. I'm retired Crime Stopper Sergeant Darren Birch.
I'm retired Phoenix Police Officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have a very special Thanksgiving edition for you today. We have a California Corrections Officer, DJ Vodica. He went against the green wall. Corrupt officers working with criminals, the inmates. Horrible stuff, and he was able to stop. In fact, Governor Schwarzenegger, the Terminator himself, said, "What a brave man," during the Senate hearings. All this occurred during Thanksgiving many years ago. Then in our Cop Talk segment, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to have the biggest turkey of a governor award. Yeah, a jive turkey governor. Stiff competition between three governors, and Jason, Robin, and I are way in who we think is the worst
of
the worst.
It's stiff competition between 50 governors.
Yeah, it really is, but the top three. we have top three.
Somehow we narrowed it down to three out of 50 shitty ones.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of ourselves.
This took a lot of work, but actually they helped a lot. I will say that.
We can't ruin the holidays for everybody by saying all 50.
I have 50 piles of shit, and I have to grab the three nicest. No, I'm going to grab the three worst piles of shit out of 50. So that's it was a lot of shit lifting.
It was. And then in the last segment, we're going to have our stupid suspects. We're going to have Jason's heroic headlines and Jason's always inspirational clothes. So stay tuned, stay informed, and most of all, you're going to be entertained.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired Police Sergeant Darren Birch and retired Police Officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
You know, Jason, we've had a lot of great guests on the show. We really have. And as I talked about in the tease, this is definitely a great author, great book, but more importantly, a hero. When you think of the word whistleblower, different people think different things, but this is a whistleblower that brought truly needed reform in the prison system. I'm talking about DJ Vodica. He is the author of The Green Wall, a veteran correctional officer who truly changed the prison system in California. The career of DJ Vodica encompassed the rapid expansion of the prison system. For 16 years, he was a prison guard in California's highest security prisons, serving meals to gang leaders, serial killers, and lockdown cells and patrolling exercise yards filled with violent felons while unarmed and outnumbered. Ready for this? 1,000-2. He belonged to an elite unit called the Investigative Services Unit, responsible for solving horrific crimes inside the walls. He was a decorated veteran officer. He became the sole whistleblower to uncover a group of rogue prison guards who called themselves the Green Wall. Appropriately, the book is The Green Wall. It's a real-life drama of one man's courage to do the right thing against the California state prison system. It is an unblinking look at what can go wrong when only one person is willing to stand up and speak for what is right against almost insurmountable odds. Vodica's televised state sent testimony that we'll go into exposed the scandal. It is truly a great read. It's a great story. A great man. DJ Vodica, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks, Darren. It's been a pleasure having me on your podcast and your radio show to share my story.
Yeah, no, the honor is all ours, and I know we're in limited time, so I want to get right into it. Tell me about, if you will, how it kind of, you know, the early warning signs, if you will, the things you saw in the early stages and then as it progressed. Can you kind of give us a, if you will, a bird's eye view of that?
Yeah, actually, the Green Wall was formed on Thanksgiving Day in 1998 at Salinas Valley State Prison where I was working. What happened is the Southern Hispanic inmates attacked staff on the yard, and several staff members were injured. And after that, I photographed the inmates that with non-injuries and all that, and some of the prison guards who were formed their own group called the Green Wall started calling me a rat and a snitch, an inmate lover and all that, and I just told them I was doing my job. Because shortly after that, the investigations from Sacramento came down and found out that the staff were disrespecting the Southern Hispanic inmates. That's why they attacked the staff on Thanksgiving Day.
And your job was like internal affairs. Am I correct? That's your job.
Yeah, I was. Yes, I was actually not internal affairs. I was with that unit, but we were ISU Investigation Service Unit. We do all the crime scenes and investigate inmates, and if they involve staff, we turn that over to our superiors. But we had knowledge of everything going on in the prison. We were a handpicked unit.
And tell us about some of this abuse. What occurred with these this Green Wall, this kind of rogue prison guards?
These guys would set up inmates for more time. They would plant weapons in their cells. They would go down to the minimum yards or any other yards, and they knew exactly who they were going to target prior to inmates going home or being paroled. They would have the backing of the warden at the prison at that time. The warden told these guys to go put fear and intimidation to these inmates. They're not going to run my prison. We're going to run the prison the way we need to run the prison. And these guys would have parties off grounds, like if the seventh day fell on the Friday, because they were called the GW, so 723, the 23rd letter of the alphabet is W. They would have tattoos on their bodies, and they would target the certain inmates who they wanted to target.
You know, it sounds like a gang. I mean, when you take away the badge and you hear about something that is like a syndicate in terms of a organization where they have this isn't just willy-nilly, you know, bad guards doing bad things independently. This is a gang mentality as it relates to setting people up. Am I getting that wrong?
Yeah, you're totally 100% right, Darren, because they had the backing of the warden. The warden at this prison didn't disclose this to his superiors in Sacramento. He kept it in-house until later on, until I exposed the Green Wall in the Senate hearings. And then when I exposed the Green Wall in the Senate hearings, everything just ballooned from there.
You know, I definitely want to talk about that Senate hearing because that's really when everyone woke up. But while everyone is sleeping and no one realizes what is going on in this particular prison, what was life like for you going to work every day?
Well, it was difficult, real difficult after the Thanksgiving riot in 1998, a couple of years after that. I mean, I was ostracized by my staff members. They were calling me a rat, snitch, didn't have nothing to do with me. And then we had another big investigation go with the Green Wall. I was ordered by the warden at that prison who controlled the Green Wall to write a report about staff misconduct and all that. I didn't know he was behind the ordeal, and I stamped it confidential. And then 2 months later, he showed my report to some of the other members of the Green Wall guys, ISG unit, and they came down to where I worked out and threatened me and told me, "You're a dead man, Vodka. You ever heard a dead man walking? You're through. You'll never survive at this prison." So I got pretty upset about that, and I contacted a good friend who was a special agent in Sacramento, and he called his superiors, and then the next thing you know, I was moved overnight to another prison. And then when I was at that prison, I approached my union president, who was the biggest, one of the most powerful union in the United States, CCAA. I approached him and I asked him, "Hey, Mike, I need your help. Can you help me?" And he looked at me and goes, "You're Officer Vodka. Oh yeah, we've been advised not to talk to you," and he walked away from me.
Oh my God!
So maybe my own union wouldn't protect me.
You know, I get visions of Serpico. You know, I get that feeling that, you know, you're literally a man on an island. And we always talk about no man's island. You really were. You were surrounded by this rogue group. And I can only assume there was a lot of good guards, but they weren't going to go against this because they were powerful. Am I right?
Yeah, 100% right. The union, is the most powerful union in the United States and in California. And I, you know, I was one man that took on one man took on 30,000 officers, and you know that's how many sworn custody are in California as peace officers. And I never had the backing for anything. I was told to seek out a civil attorney and fight this case on my own.
Wow. So you did go to a friend, you got into contact with the right people, and now there's a Senate hearing. Tell me about that.
Well, I was invited to a Senate hearing. The Senator Jackie Speier, who's powerful now, she's a congresswoman in Washington, D.C., and then Senator Gloria Romero, who's no longer a senator in California, they heard about my story. So they're doing like a government oversight thing about against Department of Corrections and the corruption going on. And they subpoenaed me that day to Sacramento on January 21st, 2004. After my arrival going into the courthouse, I was flanked by California Highway Patrol. They were armed. And I also had a bulletproof vest on when I was going in with my partner, Joe Renoso, and my lawyer. And when I walked into the arena, the big courthouse, packed house, everybody was in, no seat available. People lined up on the wall. I was walked down, had to swear under the oath. And then that's when the senator said, what you guys are going to hear today is the most unbelievable thing that you're going to ever hear probably in the CDCR history. This officer blew the whistle on a group called the Green Wall, and she put the paper up, Senator Speier, and it's in the front page of the L.A. Times. I didn't even know that was in the L.A. Times. So I testified about the Green Wall for about 2 hours on a Senate hearings, and then that same night after I left the Senate hearings, I was moved into off the grid into hiding for 6 months until we started our civil proceedings against the Department of Corrections.
Wow, you're literally truly afraid for your life. That's insane. The governor was the terminator of the governor at the time.
Yeah, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger at the time, and then from what I understand, he was watching in his office on his video cameras. Because when I got to the state capitol down, there was so much news media. I mean, I had to go through a lot of people. They knew about this before I even got to the state capitol. I mean,
wow,
you know how the word spreads out for
yes.
media. They wanted this story because it was the hottest story in California.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but rightfully so. I mean, you got a prison guard who is calling out a criminal syndicate. I mean, when you're setting people up, when you're planting evidence, I mean, we're talking criminal activity by people that, you know, are dishonoring our badge. And no one hates a bad cop or, again, we call them prison guards, but they're really prison officers. Am I right?
Yeah, we're prison officers or correctional peace officers. We actually sworn peace officers, and I don't know how many there are in the United States, but we actually fall under the APC 832.
Gotcha. Yeah, so you're talking bad cops is what you're talking about, and using the colors of the authority to do criminal activity. So what was the end result? How many, you know, did people go to prison? Were people just fired? Can you kind of talk about the aftermath?
Yeah, well, after the investigation and all that, and after we deposed a lot of people, it's all in the book. I mean, the deposition testimony is in the back of the book. There's nothing left out in the book, names, everything, and evidence. But anyways, after we deposed the warden and all this, the warden was told, either you resign or we'll terminate you because the FBI is looking at it. So the FBI looked at a lot of the staff members who are part of the Green Wall. But like I said, the powerful union, CCPOA, backed up the staff. And some of them got their jobs back. Some of them were terminated. But as far as the FBI, I don't know if they took on the case or not, but it set precedents in California. My story, Darren, set laws, whistleblower procedures for whistleblowers to come forward in the Department of Corrections without fear of retaliation or retribution. And I changed policies and procedures in the Department of Corrections.
Kudos to you, and I mean that, because no one hates a bad cop more than a cop. It tarnishes our badges.
Well, Darren, not all correctional officers and peace officers and street cops are bad. It's just that select a few make it hard on the other ones
yes.
to do their job. You know?
Exactly.
That percentage, it goes through everything. Firefighters, police officers, FBI, anything to do with law enforcement or any, you know, that kind of service. I mean, but I didn't want to go out that way. And you know what really encouraged me, Darren, is my father, before he died, his last words to me were, write your book, son. Write it. So I wrote it.
And thank you for not just what you did, but writing it and documenting. If there's someone listening to the show, which there will be a lot of people wanting to buy this book, how can they get it? Is it available on Amazon? Can they give us a website?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon.com, BarnesNoble.com. I self-published the book. I control the rights. You know, I mean, you can Google my name, you know, like DJ Vodka and all that. You can buy it anywhere there. The book is taken off like wildfire. I mean, it's already in Australia, the UK. It's worldwide. And, you know, and just to let you know, Darren, I really, you guys are the first. I live here in Arizona. I don't go to California. I live here in Arizona, you know, close to Phoenix. And I've been here 15 years, and you guys are the first ones that actually grabbed a hold of my story, and I appreciate that. And the other thing is right now my story is in current film development for a feature film.
I love it. I love it. I love movies. I love films. So I'll be really – we'll have you back on, please, to kind of promote that film and that book. But for those listening, DJ, the initials DJ, Vodka, V as in Victor, O as in Ocean, D as in David, I as in Ida, C as in Charles, K as in King, and A as in Adam. DJ Vodka. And the book, again, is The Green Wall. It's available anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere you want to order a book. I cannot thank you enough for what you did, let alone risking your life, truly risking your life to reform the prison system. Because when I look at prison, I look at two things. It's either recidivism or it's rehabilitation. And when we're as dirty as the criminals, there's going to be no rehabilitation.
That's 100% correct. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, it's hard for these guys to program. You know, criminal justice reform in the prison system is a hot topic, you know, and it's just things need to be changed in California and United States wide. You know, I mean, it's like I said, I can end this. We all took an oath. You took an oath, Aaron. Your partners took an oath. When I took an oath, I didn't adhere to the code of silence. I'm not going to stand up against the, you know, I'm not going to break the, I am going to break the code of silence, but I didn't adhere to the code of silence. I protect and serve and to watch over these guys. You know, I didn't sentence them. The courts and the jury sentenced them. We're just there to protect them.
And good for you. And again, I thank you for being on our show, but more importantly, I thank you for what you did standing up against the Green Wall.
Thank you, Darren. I appreciate it for bringing me on.
We'll be right back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'll never forget
that moment.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired Police Sergeant Darren Birch and retired Police Officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Welcome back to Batch Boys, everybody. Darren, as always, thank you so much. Outstanding guests. What a story.
Courageous.
What a way to stand up for your convictions. And then, you know, I love Schwarzenegger's little compliment, but I mean, the Green Wall, that was, it takes a lot, especially in today's world, to simply not only believe in what you believe, but to stand up for it. So give DJ a lot of credit. I think that was a very fitting show for this particular week.
I agree.
As Darren mentioned in the opening, we are going to our cop talk, and I'm going to take it upon myself, even though we have a beautiful young woman in the studio who
we
should
do.
Probably.
Well, wait a minute. Did you just call me a young woman? Did you?
Yes.
And
wow.
You focus on the young part, not the beautiful part.
Well, I'm older than you, though. That's a compliment to me. I appreciate that.
I don't think you are. Darren is the old one.
I'm the old guy.
Darren's the old guy.
Yes. I am older than you.
I know, but we're not going to focus on that.
I'm the bar. Anything young is young.
Even though I do believe in chivalry, and I am very old school, I am still going to take the first opening on this.
Yes. Before you do that, let me set it up. Can I set it up, my friend?
Well, you're welcome to set it up, but I want to do mine first.
Yes.
So that by the time I'm done with
Your rant?
How fired up I get in my rant that hopefully after you two are done, people will have forgotten what Jason
said.
And I won't get in too much trouble.
Dude, my guy's a real winner, too.
My guy is... Anyway, Darren, set it up.
I will set it up. Okay. The competition for the worst governor in the country has been heating up, you know, for a long time now, ever since, oh my gosh, March. With stiff competition emerging between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, which Jason will weigh in on, California Governor Gavin Newsom, which Robin will weigh in on, and the Oregon Governor Kate Brown, which I will weigh on, because today's pick will pick the biggest turkey, or as we've talked about, a jive turkey, because they're truly, truly ruining the holidays.
That's it. Cancel the kitchen scraps for lepers and orphans. No more merciful beheadings. And call off Christmas.
Yes, these three governors.
Alan Rickman, not one of the best. I loved Alan Rickman. Yes. May he rest in peace. I loved Galaxy Quest, Alan Rickman.
Die Hard.
You know what? And it's not even. Closet I know we're land. Talking about Thanksgiving, but as soon as Thanksgiving's over, do you know what I do?
No.
To make it Christmas.
Uh-huh. Oh, me too.
I watch Die Hard.
Perfect Christmas movie.
I watch Home Alone first.
Oh, okay.
But then it is officially Christmas after I have seen Die Hard and Alan Rickman's character in that movie.
Hans
and I do it every year. I've been doing it every year for 20 years probably. It isn't Christmas till I see Die Hard. So to hear Alan Rickman's voice again actually warms my heart because my heart is about to crack into a million pieces as I discuss this just shit-filled piece of paper that I'm holding. So I'm going to start.
Uh-oh.
The first of our annual Governor's Jive Turkey Award nominee is, and I have chosen, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who has warned... I don't even know where to start with this guy. I really don't.
Tell us how you feel.
I'm going to.
Don't hold back. Seriously, don't hold back.
Do I ever hold back?
Nope.
First of all, he has the shittiest brother in the entire country, so I give him credit for that. He wins that award. You can't argue that.
He wins lots of awards.
Chris Cuomo is, you know, not one of my favorite people.
Not a favorite.
And Andrew grew up with him. But he has warned law enforcement that they have to implement his COVID restrictions over Thanksgiving. Mr. Cuomo had faced a revolt from a string of upstate sheriffs who said they would not have officers implement the rules. Good for you guys. That bans more than 10 people at family gatherings. I don't believe as a law enforcement officer, you get to pick and choose which laws that you enforce. You actually do, so you shouldn't say something like that. And that was Mr. Cuomo's response. So he is right in that. You don't get to, I mean, there's the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. You have discretion, but you don't get to pick and choose. You enforce what laws have been legislated into law. That's the purpose of being a cop.
Unless it's a bullshit law. And there are bullshit laws.
Well, there's plenty of bullshit laws. There's plenty of laws that don't get enforced. But I'm just saying you don't get to pick and choose. And we know that as cops. Again, you can have discretion. It's one of the beautiful things. Not everybody has to go to jail.
On
a traffic stop. Not everybody gets a ticket. Not everybody goes to jail.
And for having too many people at the dinner? No, we're not going to enforce that.
Well, yeah, because now it comes down to personal responsibility. I have chosen to not have a family Thanksgiving. I have chosen not to bring people from other households, even though I'm related to them. This Thanksgiving to me is going to be what 2020 calls for, and I'm going to keep my small family safe in my house.
Good for you.
However, if somebody 3,000 miles away wants to have 20 people in their house, I'm not going to get on Twitter and pull this whole political correctness and yell and scream and all that. And some of these governors like Cuomo are doing that. So he said that my advice on Thanksgiving is don't be a turkey. Well, dude, you need to take a long look in the mirror. And turkey is about the nicest word I can say for you. Mr. Cuomo also said that it was his belief that the state would see a large virus spike after Thanksgiving and urged residents to follow the rules. Did you not see a large virus spike when you allowed all the protests and all the violence to occur? Did you not realize that when you ordered, when you mandated for sick COVID patients to be sent to nursing homes with the most vulnerable, and a lot of people died without their loved ones. Word. And you, sir, I don't care. Anybody out there right now could argue with me.
Nope.
Open up a criminal law book.
Yep.
Governor Cuomo, by definition, is guilty of manslaughter.
Complicit.
He recklessly endangered the lives of others. Other people died. That is murder. And
word.
It's called something different in every state, third degree manslaughter, whatever.
Reckless.
But this guy is a murderer, and I'm not going to be shy about saying that a governor in this country. So it's going to be hard to top what a piece of shit this guy is, but I know we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Stiff competition.
The politician announced last week that the indoor get-togethers should be limited to just 10 people during the holidays. In response, at least four sheriffs in Erie, Fulton, Saratoga, and Washington counties said that they would not have deputies enforce the rule. Can you imagine as a deputy being told,
no,
go to this house, knock on the door, and break up the family gathering? Seriously, I would chuckle. I'd start laughing and be like, I would even tell my sheriff or my chief. Yeah, right. No.
Not just hell.
I'm not going to do
that. Not just no, hell no.
Yeah. I'm really not going to do that.
No.
I'm going to actually do police work and protect those people who are inside their homes. It's their choice to do what they're doing as far as COVID. And I don't care that it came from the governor. And I wouldn't, as a patrol officer, I wouldn't care if it came from the sheriff or a chief.
That's the discretion part.
I'm going to answer radio calls. I'm going to make traffic stops. I'm going to keep this community safe, but I would not do
And in New York, they've defunded so many cops and got rid of so many officers. They don't have time for this silliness.
They really don't.
I just invite the cops in for dinner.
Exactly. Hey.
Come on in. Have a turkey.
Knock on the door.
Leg.
Hey, we got plenty of food
That's
here.
That's right.
With regard to the Thanksgiving executive order, the Fulton County Sheriff's Office will not be enforcing it against their county resident, wrote Richard Giardino on the Fulton County Sheriff's Office Facebook. Frankly,
you.
I am not sure it could sustain a constitutional challenge in court for several reasons, including your house is your castle. That's very true. Erie County Sheriff Timothy Howard also said he would not send deputies to, quote unquote, break up the great tradition of Thanksgiving dinner. But he told people in his county, follow your heart and act responsibly.
That's all you need to know.
Follow your heart and act responsibly. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Jeff Murray of Washington County both also stated that what people did inside their own homes was beyond their jurisdiction. And, you know, maybe there's some gray in there. But what goes on inside your house prior to meeting the scale of like domestic violence?
You have to have a victim.
Murder.
Exactly.
So we urge everyone to continue to be smart, act responsibly, as do the three of us in here. We know that people are going to be unhappy this Thanksgiving, but it's better to be unhappy than sick or worse. So personal responsibility should take precedence. Of course, I've made my decisions. I'm sure that Darren and Robin have made theirs. All of our listeners have made theirs. But it is not for the governors. And again, we have 50 states in the great United States, and we have 50 incredibly shitty governors. So we have wound it down to three. I would definitely say that Governor Cuomo takes the cake, but I think he takes the cake as the worst governor in the country, because with my true heart, I believe that he murdered people.
Yeah.
So with that,
he ruined a lot of Thanksgivings.
All those elderly people ruined.
Families.
And you know what's great is he's going to be another example of doing a lot of, I mean, the guy took the time to write a book Now he's getting an Emmy.
Emmy, yes.
He's getting an Emmy, and I'm just like, what? And of course, all the Hollywood elites released videos this week, like, way to go, congratulations on your press conferences, and I'm just shaking my head at the TV.
I'm looking, he won for Best Actor, because he's acting.
Yeah, he won for Best Actor. But if you guys have two governors that you think can beat out on a murderer, I can't wait to hear it, because you can't. And again, Governor Cuomo, I do think you're a murderer and you should be in jail. However, I have to at least say, I hope your little brother, well, he's not little because of all the steroids, but I hope that he gets food poisoning with his turkey, and he and his family can just entirely fuck off.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so a vote for Cuomo so far.
Nice start.
Yes, it is. Robin.
All right, Robin, let's hear it. Who's yours? I got to hear this.
One of my least favorite douchebags, and I'll tell you why. Governor Gavin Newsom issued a new round of curfews from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. to slow the spread of the coronavirus in California. Businesses say they have already altered hours to comply with health restrictions. And this is my favorite part. Some county sheriff's officers, they plan not to enforce this curfew.
Good for them.
Good for them. Now, he's announcing a month-long curfew that's going to go all the way to pretty close to Christmas.
Just the holidays.
December 21st.
Horrible. 26th. Yeah.
Oh, it says 21st here. Longer than Christmas?
Yeah.
First of all, douchebag. Let me tell you something. California, more than any other state in this country, relies on a lot of business around the clock. It is a place that stays open all night long.
There's 40 million people there.
Yeah. Huge. I've worked in the entertainment industry all my life, and I've traveled with a lot of bands to California, and they play in the bars till 7 or 8 a.m. Then you go home and go to sleep. That is a customary thing. The movie business has been put on hold. Everything's been put on hold. A lot of TV shows are on hiatus early after a couple of episodes. Douchebag, there's a lot of people that need to work. You're screwing up shit in the economy. And let me tell you, my biggest beef with this asshole, hey, yeah, I'm into the swearing today. Look at that.
I know.
The biggest beef I have with this governor from California, you are screwing up your state so damn bad that you're sending your California refugees over to Arizona.
True.
They're buying up our property. They're raising our rents. We can't even survive out here enough as it is. Arizona has always been known for a state where you can work a job. Take, for instance, someone in radio like me. We don't make a ton of money, but we love what we do. Now it's getting to the point where I may have to go back and work a second job because this a-hole is sending all his people here from California.
Do you know? I don't know if you heard in the... I think we're inside of 36 hours since I heard this, but he obviously was on the news this week for his little French Laundry soiree restaurant thing with no mask, and it's all over the news. But do you realize that Gavin Newsom is self-quarantining right now because...
Oh, because he got busted?
No, because he possibly got exposed.
Ooh, okay.
So it's almost hilarious of what he's telling other people to do.
He doesn't do.
Because he has the power to... tell people what to do. That's part of the problem with these politicians. But he ignores his own recommendations, and now he has to self-quarantine. And the other thing, Robin, I hate to break your heart, and I'll make you a bet on this right now. We just had an election.
Yep.
I would be willing to bet you anything that within 12 years, so three more elections, Gavin Newsom's going to be the president of the United States.
Oh, God forbid.
He will. He will. That's the direction he is headed. He started as the mayor of San Francisco. He fucked that city to tears. Then he got elevated to governor after Schwarzenegger. He is fucking that state to tears. And within 12 years, he will be the president. And God help our country when he gets there.
He's already bankrupted California.
All right, so that was your version. Your version still hasn't killed anybody, Darren. There's no way anybody beats my governor. But who... And again, we don't talk about this beforehand, anxious to hear who we have 48 governors left for you to choose from. Who did you choose?
I went right to Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah, stiff competition. I warned you. Oregon Governor Kate Brown mentioned...
I have something to say about this before you're done. Before you're done.
Sounds good.
I have one comment.
Again, she mentioned during a recent interview with a local news outlet that she believes, ready for this, people should call the police on their neighbors. If they witness them violating the pandemic restrictions at their own homes during Thanksgiving, she said, namely, being days away from Thanksgiving holiday, this includes people hosting more than six people in their own home. So think about that. You have a family of four. You have to decide who gets to bring in, you know, the brothers or sisters or whatever. You have no more than six. Governor Brown likened people calling the police on their neighbors for pandemic restrictions violations on exceeding home limit occupancy mandates on something akin to calling authorities on a late night house party. How ridiculous is that? She said, quote, this is no different. Excuse me, let me do her voice.
And this is no different than what happens if there's a party down the street. And keeping everyone awake, what do neighbors do? They call law enforcement because it's too noisy. This is just like that. It's a, like a violation of a noise ordinance.
No,
that
it's
was
not.
Actually, that was pretty actually good. A bad. Very, very good rendition of how going, she sounds.
I was going for the Wicked Witch of the West.
No, you did good.
And you think about this, it has nothing to do with a noise party. Nothing. This, if there's a noise party, you have a real victim. You have the neighbors that are complaining because it's the heart, they can't sleep. And even then, it's a knock and talk. You knock and say, please turn down the noise. She wants us to call each other. Again, this is right out of the Nazi stormtroopers.
It's like, you know, HOA police. You're
trying to get neighbors to call in on other neighbors. Oh, it's horrible. What's been coined as the, quote, freeze, end quote, in response to the pandemic can actually levy far worse repercussions on violators than a run-of-the-mill violation of noise ordinance in Oregon. For instance, in Portland, general noise complaint violations is about $100, $150 fine, if there's even a fine. Generally, as Jason, I know, you knock, you tell them to turn down the music, and you get a couple of warnings or one warning. Whereas the violation of the freeze, her violation of freeze order, such as home gatherings exceeding six, so you have seven people, you have the four family members, you have grandma and grandpa, and you can't have anyone else.
I have a question on that, though, because some Italian families and Hispanic families have about 10 people living
exactly.
in the same home.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
So you're breaking a restriction when you have...
Exactly,
that's
exactly,
bullshit.
Exactly. And let me finish up, but in a statement recently released by the Marion County Sheriff's Office, even they noted the forcing these type of mandates is both impractical, counterproductive. We recognize that we cannot arrest or enforce our way out of the pandemic, and we believe both are counterproductive to public health goals.
Oh.
And Clackamas County Chair-elect Tootsie Smith was also criticized for the freeze order, likening the mandate to reducing residents of Oregon to second-rate slaves. She said, treating people like, I know, she threw the S word down. In response to criticism from locals and elected officials within Oregon, Governor Brown referred to them as being irresponsible and likening the vocal outrage to clout chasers. My issue is manyfold. That was basically in a nutshell. However, think about this. This is a governor who for 100 days let them riot. And so what? COVID doesn't recognize rioters? And protesters?
Not when it fits their narrative.
Exactly.
No.
She allowed that. She allowed 100 days. And did anyone ever get sick from these riots? Yeah,
yes.
Because Oregon's COVID rate
Did anybody
spiked.
Get hurt or killed?
Yes. She also said summer of love with Chaz. We saw in Chaz, we saw people murdered. So I got it. She's
You
responsible.
Did, and they still will not release information to the family of a young black teenager who... The first responders weren't even allowed to get in to
Thank
help,
you.
And they
or investigate it.
They won't release information, and now the biggest thing about politics that I hate with a passion is the hypocrisy. And your governor, when you say call the cops on your neighbors, but yet she hates cops.
Yes,
so
she got rid of cops.
What the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah, what cops are you calling?
Yeah.
You got rid of them. 34 quit. Just last weekend.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so with the governors across the U.S. have been on this unadulterated power trip since March. You really have.
Yeah.
When the coronavirus first burst into our lives.
But do you know why they've been on this power trip, Darren? And let's be realistic. Everybody knew that Biden was going to win. And so these governors that we are discussing are all vying to fall forward into better jobs. And to their credit... They're going to. They are going to get better jobs. They are going to get cabinet positions or elevated into a higher status. That's why politicians
even they're the competition.
Well, that's why they even enter the business. Is you start, you know, I have made no secret. I live here in Phoenix, and I loathe our city council. I think our mayor is an epic bitch, and all they do is try. They have to start somewhere, but their goal is to go. You're going to see Kate Gallegos running for governor.
Oh, sure.
And next, you know, because Ducey is term limited now.
Yep.
So you're going to see the next election. Who do you think is going to be throwing their hat in the ring? It's going to be our mayor, because that's what they try to do, is to continue to move forward and
it's
fall forward.
Them.
And they step on and hurt. Can you imagine? I want you guys to think about this, because I talk about this all the time in my speeches, and I talk about it a lot here. And I want you guys to really think about this. Every day, I talk about something very simple. Leave the day better than you found it, right? Put an extra shopping cart away. Smile at somebody. Open the door for somebody. Whatever you can to help somebody make their life better. Can you imagine waking up every day with the sole intent to hurt as many people as you can, to simply take a step up on top of their graves or their adversity? And that is what our politicians right now, across the spectrum, I don't care which side you're on, every one of you do it. Every one of you do it. And that's my biggest problem with just how much I hate them.
I agree. And this has been a very bizarre competition between these governors to see who can come up with the most arbitrary, capricious, draconian executive order. Think about this. They've all come up with their own little version, right? We got Cuomo with his, you know, cops will do this. You will do this, cops. Him doing all the things he's doing, putting older people back into the convalescent homes that are sick. That is a death warrant for the other people. He's horrible. He's a monster. We have Newsom, who is destroying California single-handedly destroying the biggest state.
And enjoying it.
And
I'm not kidding you.
Yes.
He is, I guarantee you, he's sitting behind his big mansion walls with, guess who? California state troopers protecting his life.
Thank you.
His Thanksgiving dinner is probably going to cost, I don't know, somewhere in the $7,000 to $10,000 range. My Thanksgiving dinner is going to cost about $50.
Right.
He's sitting there behind those mansion walls. He's going to have a beautiful Thanksgiving, a very expensive Thanksgiving. He is well protected. But what is truly sad is, I guarantee you, he is sitting there right now as we speak. Gavin Newsom is sitting with a smile on his face and enjoying destroying the state that he supposedly loves. That's just
insane.
It truly is. You talk about the definition of mental illness. And I know mental illness is very real. I have it in my family. I have it, well, half you listeners probably think I have it. I really don't. I know it's a very real thing when you talk about children with autism or Down syndrome or things like that. These politicians, I truly think, like what Gavin Newsom is doing and the way he feels about it, how else would you describe it? It is a mental illness. The guy is hurting.
Sociopathic.
The guy is hurting.
Well, his reach is extending into our state, which really sucks.
Good point. That's a extra vote for Newsom on your point.
He's reaching into our state. He's got that claw in here.
He's not just screwing up California. No. He's screwing Arizona. No doubt about it.
I see it all the time, you know?
But look at Miss Brown, Governor Brown. Look what Katie has done. Katie barred the door. She has closed that beautiful, beautiful state. Have you been to Oregon? It's beautiful.
I have been to Portland. I've been there a ton of times.
Going it's up the
one
coast.
Of the most
it's
beautiful.
Gorgeous. It's amazing.
Places. But the city of Portland right now, for as beautiful as it is, and there are a lot of great people there, it is truly being destroyed.
Oh, it is. And what she's done with the laws, I haven't even weighed in on the laws regarding drugs that are now being able to go on there. We haven't even weighed in on over 100 days of protests that were, and I'm using air quotes, they were riots. They were absolute riots where police officers were being hurt. Then she wants to defund the police through her city, and that's a whole nother despicable human being, the mayor. And so now they have defunded the police department, and now she wants citizens to call the police to rat out somebody who has one too many people at their dinner
table.
Is
it the hypocrisy awesome?
It's insane.
Is it the hypocrisy
so we have,
awesome?
We have the three of the worst of the worst. These
Let's
are
go
the
to
biggest
her house.
Turkeys.
Let's go to her house and see how many people she's going to have.
Yes.
Right?
I say we rat out each of these governors, right? Right. We rat out each of them. We go to New York. We rat out Cuomo. We rat out
well,
Newsom. We rat out Brown.
I had so much fun watching Cuomo this week because he... I don't know if you saw one of his press conferences. He was getting all kinds of fired up and pissed off at reporters.
Yeah, he was.
He was almost pulling like a Donald Trump. Like he was getting he was getting mad. And it was hilarious because he's like that what stereotypical New Yorker, I guess, from a long time. You know, he's hardcore, he's intense, he's fiery. And that part of him
sounds
kind of
like you.
I actually like that part of him. But I couldn't help but laugh my ass off when the reporter asked a simple question about school closures in New York City. For those of you who have never been to New York or don't pay attention, Governor Cuomo is in Albany. It is quite a ways away from what is known as New York City, the five boroughs. Or more importantly, when you talk about New York City, you're talking about the tiny island of Manhattan. 2 miles by 13 miles and the greatest city, or was, the greatest city in the world. So Cuomo's up there giving this press conference, and he got so angry at this reporter for asking about school closures and went on this rant about how I have given these directives. We've got orange zones or red zones, and schools are not closing. And the press conference ends, and literally 2 minutes later, the Democratic mayor, who Cuomo's also a Democrat, de Blasio in New York City.
Oh, your favorite guy.
Well, he announced schools are closing. So he made Cuomo look so fucking stupid. It was hilarious because Cuomo's yelling at these reporters like they don't know what they're talking about.
When he didn't know.
And then a mayor completely was like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is my city, and I'm closing the largest school district in the country. And you can't help but just laugh at these guys don't even know what they're doing.
No.
They don't talk. They don't. They just don't have any idea what they're doing. And every state, it would have been so easy when this pandemic started. It truly would have been to put everything aside and be like, all right, this is going to be a worldwide pandemic, which it is. And we should have come together with unity and fought it. But the people that, unfortunately, we elected decided to politicize it, and now we are where we are. And we're even in the time. I'm so excited. There's a vaccine. I watched the local news last night. Again, I like our local news reporters, all channels. I like all the anchors and the reporters on our local news here, and I'm sure a lot of people across the country feel the same way. I obviously do not like the national news media, but I turned on the news last night, and the lead story, and it was very detailed and very long, we are going to get our first doses of vaccine in about 3 weeks. And then they're going to prioritize, you know, frontline workers,
responders,
first responders,
right.
Hopefully teachers.
Right.
You know, I understand that I'm going to be kind of at the lower end of the list on when I get the vaccine, as we should be.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. I'm not going to argue with that. But then you're hearing other people say, well, I don't trust this vaccine because it came from this administration. And look, I don't care what you think about the president. He is not a doctor or a scientist. Yes, he runs his mouth. Yes, he takes credit for stuff that he didn't do. I don't care about that. The vaccine, for you to say that we should not get it because it didn't come from somebody that you like. So you dislike one person, but you will risk the lives of 300 million other people. That is a mental illness and a narcissism that words truly can't express.
Yeah.
These are really bad people.
I go to sociopathic. I really do.
They are.
They truly don't have a sense of right and wrong because their filter is a political filter. That's the first thing they think about. They don't think like me and you, where we think about, and Robin, where we think about the health and welfare of our individuals, health and welfare of the family,
or making people's lives better.
Yes. They think the very first filter when they're thinking about anything, no matter what it is, politically, how does this help me?
Exactly. It's narcissistic. Exactly. It's sociopathic.
Exactly.
It's, you know what they are? They're little freaking dictators.
Exactly.
They really are. That's why he went on that rant. He reminded me of a dictator, really angry at one of the local media. So we have a tough vote. We have a tough vote.
I don't think we have a way to poll this. And
can we just make it a three-way tie? They're all assholes.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, but again, then we'd have to make a 50-way tie because... And I'm sure people out there would be like, Jason, come on, some of these governors are good people. Fuck you. No, they're not. No, there's not a one. There is not a single politician who is a genuinely good person. There's just simply not. You can't get into politics
with that mindset
and be a good person. You have to have something seriously wrong with you mentally and emotionally to even want to do that job. And I'll tell you something else, and you can understand this, Darren, and this is going to sound a little bit selfish, but you and I were both in the military.
Yep.
We were both police officers. What I really hate so much is about how politicians, when their time is finally done, either they die at an old age or they're out of office, you always hear about how they served their country.
Ugh.
That
they serve themselves.
That upsets me so much because you are not serving your country.
You are
serving yourself.
Thank you.
And you're not even serving your constituents because...
political aspirations. You're only serving your political aspirations.
Well, and again, we don't live in... people always talk about how America is the greatest country in the world by far. And I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to salute the flag. And I'm going to be a proud patriot. And if that offends any of you, then you can kiss my ass. But the politicians do not view it that way. They view America as a place that they need to change and they need to make better. And when you look at like the House of Representatives is an example. How many people are in there? I wish I could go back to social studies. 523, 532.
Yeah.
One of those numbers.
Yeah.
That's a large pile of shit we're talking about, okay? Over 500 piles of shit in one chamber at our house. And they get elected. The House is a much smaller, like your constituency, right?
Districts,
so,
absolutely.
So, it's easy to use an example of somebody that I truly dislike, which would be AOC in New York.
Yes.
So she gets elected, and good for her. She went from being a bartender to her passions about what she believes in, and I don't discredit that. And she did her little grassroots, door-to-door, knock on the door, and she won in her little district in Queens and I think part of the Bronx or something like that. But all of a sudden, when she got elected, now when you listen to her and when you watch her, she thinks that she is allowed and can speak for a farmer in Kansas, an electrician in Idaho, a cop here in Arizona. No, you've got to be kidding me. How is that our political structure?
You're right.
And maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm very wrong. I completely disagree that. So back to my point. A lot of people think that we live in a democracy. We do not.
Republic.
We live in a republic. And the reason is because you, wherever you live, you get to sit and listen and enjoy the nonstop lies of people running for an office, and then you will choose which lie you like the best. You will vote for them. Then they go off to Washington, and they are free to do whatever they want,
yes,
not based on their constituency. That is a scary, scary system.
Yes, willing and dealing.
That we live in. So anyway, I'm going to vote for Governor Cuomo because plain and simple, and I don't care if I'm going to get in trouble for this, he is a murderer.
Yeah.
And there is no other way around that. From a law enforcement standpoint, Andrew Cuomo is a murderer.
We have one vote for Cuomo, the murderer. Robin.
You know, I have a real affinity for New York.
Okay.
I think the guy is just a piece of shit for what he's doing to the New Yorkers.
He took the greatest state, greatest city. Okay.
You know, think about...
Well, de Blasio over in the city.
Yeah. Well, think about...
he helped.
Think about 9/11, you know, and when you go back to who was in charge back then, you know, he was America's mayor. Everybody loved him, and he did amazing things back then. in, on 9/11, Giuliani. And he brought the whole United States together for something that happened in New York. And I've been to New York several times where I've had interesting experiences, and my heart and soul belong there to some degree. I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to go back now after, you know, those guys destroying the city.
Yeah.
And I have friends that live there that always tell me what's happening. So, you know,
it's even scary.
So your vote,
even though I dislike that a-hole from California for screwing up two states, thanks for letting your people come over here and cause problems, I'm still going to have to go with the asshole in New York.
And I look at the candidate I brought to the table. She's done some horrible, horrible things, allowing that state to go, specifically Portland, to go 100 days hurting police officers, allowing chaos to occur, allowing for a part of your city to be in the hands of anarchists. It's inconceivable. I can't even wrap my head around that and have people murdered. And have police not be able to go into that location.
And then to not tell the family. To not. Darren, we worked investigations. Yes. What's one of the most important things as an investigator?
The
is to talk to the families and let them know the details, as hard as they might be. Families deserve that, especially when you're talking about, you know, I worked homicide for 3 years. There is no more violent crime. I mean, rape is incredibly bad. Child molestation obviously is incredibly bad, but murder has such a violence and a finality to it. That family, and you can see them on the news, and you know what's crazy is that family's African American. And all of the governor does
is they
rave about BLM, but yet you won't even simply talk to the family.
And
you won't tell them what's going on. It's astonishing.
It is. And having said all that, I can't get past the most vulnerable of our society in New York City.
The elderly.
When Cuomo put people that were sick, they had COVID, forced those elderly communities, those convalescent homes, those group homes, the convalescent care. He forced them to take them in when they didn't have the logistical capability of safeguarding the other residents, and people died. That so many Thanksgivings were ruined because of Cuomo.
His mandate is written on paper, and he will openly deny that he did that.
Yes.
So now he's not only a murderer, but he's a liar. Again, that goes back to the narcissism. It's astonishing. But you're right. So many people died in New York in nursing homes. That's
my vote. I vote Cuomo. He ruined so many lives.
Hey, I won. 3-0.
No.
You didn't win. The asshole.
Andrew Cuomo won. He's the biggest jive turkey.
He's the biggest jive turkey. And I know, Mr. Cuomo, that you're going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. And you know what? Good for you. And if you do get to see your brother, do me a favor. Ask him to take a nice, healthy dose of his steroids. Ask him to go do a really good workout. And then ask that little fuck to meet me somewhere. Could you do that for me? That's all I'm asking, because I would love to visit
What a
Chris
wonderful
Cuomo.
Thanksgiving
I'd
wish.
I'd love to have a little one-on-one with Chris Cuomo.
A beautiful Thanksgiving
it
feast.
It would be great. Like I told you last week, he's so stupid he'd bring a knife to a gunfight, and it wouldn't last very long. So
there's going to be some interesting karma for these guys, you know?
And I'm talking about... So for all you Secret Service federal agents, I'm not threatening... The governor.
Here comes the disclaimer.
Yes, it is a disclaimer. I am not threatening the governor or the politician. I'm talking about a person who calls himself a journalist and works at the single worst building that is currently erected in the United States of America. And it's CNN. I was in Atlanta not so long ago. I drove by there and.
Did you see him working out?
No, I didn't. But for the first time, I almost understood how people can have some
rage.
Yeah, okay. some thoughts about causing problems. Let's just
leave it at that.
Yeah, because I saw CNN the building, and I drove around it, and I was like, Atlanta's a beautiful city, a great city. You know, they still got all the Olympic stuff erected from 1996.
It's changed a lot since Turner's day.
It has. But when I drove by, I was like, oh, my God, that's CNN right there. And yeah, I definitely had some thoughts cross my mind. But again, these guys are well protected, and the people that they talk to, people like us, we don't live in gated communities with armed guards. And well, I'm armed, but Darren, I'm sure you're armed. Robin, I hope.
You never know.
You live in Arizona. I'm really not too. But Rob, as we sit here, Robin probably could pull like three guns out.
And just from one.
Where would I hide them today?
Of the dress she's wearing. But anyway.
I've got one in my bra right here.
That was a lot of fun. We will be right back with some enlightening. I can't wait to find out what Darren's stupid suspect stories are. Heroic headline. And then just a simple close about what this week means. Come on back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Move over, AZ. Arizona's move over law requires you to move over or slow down when you drive past any vehicle pulled over with flashing lights. Remember, every vehicle, every time. Move over, AZ.
Sponsored by ADA in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that competition. And as I was thinking about it,
I enjoyed it because I won.
You did win. And I like the idea that we were all kind of covering up our big fat turkey. Think about it. We were kind of covering up the turkey, the big fat turkey. I with Brown and you with Newsom. And, of course, Cuomo was the winner. Exactly. The biggest, fattest, ugliest jive turkey there is.
Jive turkey. That takes you back to so many movies I saw when I was a kid.
It does.
If you don't know that term, you gotta go back and look at some of these movies. Darren and I are old, but I love that.
So as horrible as we talked about these three individuals, the one word that never came up, because there was a lot of adjectives. I mean, disgusting, horrible, sociopathic, lying, sack of shit, all these.
Murderer.
The one thing that didn't come up, the word heroic. And rightfully
that's
so.
That's not going to come
rightfully
up politician discussion.
Exactly. So now we need Jason to tell us and share a heroic.
Yeah, you know, this one, this is interesting to me because, again, look, guys, it doesn't matter what uniform you're wearing, what job you're doing. The bottom line is we're all still human beings, and we all still have emotions and feelings, and fight or flight syndrome is very real within all of us. And this comes out of, interestingly enough, one of my favorite states that I have yet to gone to. I'm down to 5 states that I have not been able to speak in. And one of them is Oklahoma. However, I have several very good friends.
I know one of them.
Chris
Fields.
Chris Fields, yeah, the Oklahoma City firefighter who responded to the bombing in the 90s. Yeah, he is an amazing individual. And I am scheduled to go there in February. I'm actually scheduled to go there twice in 2021. So not only will I knock off a state that I've never been to off my list, but I'll get to go there twice. And Chris already knows that he has to buy me a steak.
Well, dude,
it's not only that I'm
going
to eat a real Oklahoma steak, he has to pay for it. So that was part of the deal. But this is about an Oklahoma officer who responded to a fire in which he saved some lives. And it comes out of Seminole, Oklahoma. An Oklahoma officer responded to an emergency call about a house fire, only to realize that it was his own home with his own family trapped inside the flames. Seminole police officer Anthony Louis, only 33 years old. He's working Friday night when a call came in reporting a house fire. As Louis was responding, he realized that it was his own house that was on fire. Louis had 2 sons in the house alone, ages 14 and 7. God, I cannot imagine the fear of these kids. And I guarantee that 14-year-old stepped up and took care of his brother in that the 7-year-old in those moments. When Louis arrived at the scene, he jumped out of his patrol car, rushed into the house to save his sons. The brave officer ran through the fire, engulfed front porch, and into the home where his children were stuck. Louis's wife, Lorena Louis, told the Washington Post that their children were yelling out for their dad. Of course, kids, what else are kids going to be doing in that moment? Mrs. Louis said that as they turned the corner of the home, the boys saw their father. That's when they saw Dad. He was hollering and yelling for them. There was so much smoke that they couldn't see. Louis was able to immediately pull both of his sons from the fire. Amazingly, the boys did not sustain any injuries. Louis, however, was not as lucky. His heroism left him hospitalized with smoke inhalation, burns on his face, head, and arms, something that I can very much relate to. The smoke inhalation, however, is the scariest and the worst for when you're involved in a fire. The officer is still in the hospital, but is thankfully expected to make a full recovery. And the Seminole Fraternal Order of Police released a statement recounting Louis's brave actions, saying, as many of our citizens know by now, Officer Louis was injured in the early morning hours of Friday, November 13th. Officer Louis responded to a house fire only to find that it was his own residence. He made entry, successfully rescued his family, suffered smoke inhalation injuries. His family was not physically injured due to his bravery and quick action. I can't even fathom responding to a call that involves your own family and the emotions that would go through that. So Officer Louis is definitely my hero for the week. And because we are in the week of Thanksgiving, and that's a name and a title, and it's been around since before I was born, but it's a week to figure out what you're grateful for. And I guarantee you that Officer Louis is grateful that he was the one who was there. He was able to do his job. He saved his family, and his family, in turn, is grateful for his heroic acts and the prayers of his full recovery, so that hopefully they can enjoy a meal together tomorrow and reflect on, wow, what they have been through. It's just,
that gives me chills.
I mean, it is, it's a scary thing. But as a first responder, sometimes you get calls and you just don't know exactly where you're going. So thank you, Officer Louis, and God bless you and your boys.
Yeah, great, great story.
All right, Darren.
What a hero.
Ruin my day.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
I thought we already did that with the jive turkeys.
I won that bet. So I won that competition. My day's not ruined, but Darren is about to ruin my day.
Where should we start? What state?
Geez, Florida?
Well, I'm thinking the south, very southeast. It's got a panhandle in Florida.
Miami Beach, Florida.
Absolutely. I was born there.
There we go.
Police in Miami Beach, the home of Robin, say that a 27-year-old man robbed a blind tourist at gunpoint for his gold chain while the out-towner was simply walking with a friend during the morning of November 21st. 27-year-old Edward Earl Smallwood, a.k.a. Eddie Smalldick, had approached the blind victim from behind and lodged the barrel of a gun against the man's back. Witnesses said the suspect then pushed the victim to the ground and snatched his gold chain in the process. This was what makes him stupid, not just a bad nickname. Police heard the commotion because they're in the area. Police were in the area. So who is more blind, the suspect or Eddie Smalldick? That's right. It was Eddie Smalldick. Eddie Smalldick is now currently facing charges of armed robbery with a deadly weapon, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and resisting arrest and having the worst AK ever, Eddie Smalldick. That is story number one.
Well, his AKA comes from you, and he just got it 8 seconds ago.
So. Hey, it's also known as. It doesn't matter.
Oh, my God.
Okay, story number two. This is New York, Buffalo, New York. An 18-year-old man tried to make himself appear to be the victim of a crime by a President Trump supporter by vandalizing his own car. Who's that remind you of? Remember Jussie Smollett, our famous Jussie Smollett? Yeah. So to recap, He vandalized his own car. Yeah, he
dumbass.
Did. Yeah, it's yeah.
Back yeah, in, I like my car. What a dumbass.
Back in October, Utsi, that's his name, by the way,
played the
victim. What's his name?
Ootsie. It is Ootsie. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's Ootsie. Yeah, Clifton Ootsie of Buffalo, New York, went ahead and took his 2004 BMW, covered it with swastikas, anti-gay phrases and terms, racial slurs, and had, quote, Trump for president spray-painted on the vehicle. At the time, he even landed himself a pity party compliment of the local news where people were listening, and they met, one of the owners of a fix-up car shop was going to give him a free fix-up car and give him a new vehicle. And all these people were coming out of the woodwork to help this poor Ootsie. Police became involved, however, when Ootsie tried to make an insurance claim. He went one step too far. According to the Erie County District Attorney, a neighbor had both witnessed him and videotaped him vandalizing his own car. So exactly 1 month after the vandalism, Ootsie turned himself into police and now facing charges of third-degree insurance fraud and falsifying a report. Ootsie, you're an idiot.
That doesn't even need a nickname.
No, Ootsie. In fact, when someone does something stupid, we'll say, oh, that was an Ootsie.
That's an Ootsie.
I just don't get that. They gave him a new car.
Well, no, they were going to.
But they found, dude, dumbass.
I know, right? Okay.
Hey, you can't fix stupid. Ron White, he explained it. You cannot fix stupid.
Speaking of stupid, New York City, New York, minutes after midnight on November 22nd, New York City Sheriff's deputies shut down an illegal swingers party, which hosted over 80 people in the Queens area. And the Queens is listed as who thinks of swingers parties during the pandemic?
Queens, New York covering does. One yeah. thing during
Darren,
that time.
Yes, sir. Swingers.
Yes, yeah, swingers.
Swingers think of swingers parties.
That's who does, I guess.
The yeah. They're not going to stop their lives. Yeah. Their
25 people. 25 people gathered, and the police and deputies respond to Club Caligula. Am I saying that right?
Hey,
Caligula.
COVID is not an STD. I don't see what the problem is.
You can't
here.
Swap spit.
You'll see what the problem is here in a second. It continues. Authorities witnessed over 80 people. They found 80 people inside, stayed throughout the various venue doing various things to each other during the illegally run liquor bar. And this is it. This is the stupid part. They had a buffet. A finger food. Yeah, finger food buffet at a swingers orgy.
Hey, you get hungry.
So you can do group sex with my issue, but it was the buffet.
Excuse me, sir.
A lot of calories in group sex.
Excuse me, sir. Is that mayonnaise on your plate?
You have to eat.
I was going to say something,
80
but I'll
people,
shut up.
Violations of mercy orders, no liquor license, warehousing liquor license, two organizers and one patron charged with multiple misdemeanor felonies and bad taste for having a orgy with a buffet. And that is the stupid suspect.
So they got
story.
Busted
so
for the
New
buffet.
In New York, you can't go to church or school, but you can go to
an
a
orgy.
Swingers club and have an orgy.
And the best buffet ever.
That makes sense.
Well, sex is a cure-all for a lot of things, especially headaches, so why not, right?
Well, like I said, COVID is not sexually transmitted, so...
you're right. They all could have had their masks on. They could have.
There's the extra part.
Social distancing would have been
what's
difficult.
What's that Tom Cruise movie?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
Maybe it was an Eyes Wide Shut thing, and they were all wearing masks.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have definitely taken it to weird places today, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know what, though?
I have 80 stupid suspects.
You know what I love about that part, though, is where it happened, because it stuffs it in the face of those politicians. Do you remember the synagogue story earlier this week? There was a 7,000 person wedding, and Cuomo, Andrew,
yes,
my
the biggest turkey,
the giant
of them
turkey
all.
Of them all. Oh my God, he lost his damn mind. But I love that they pulled off this 7,000 person wedding without him knowing, because I don't know how you would do that.
That's crazy.
I really do not know how you would
awesome.
Pull off
flyers. So, nothing on the internet. All flyers,
so,
baby.
To whoever got married and their family at that synagogue. You know what?
Mazel tov, baby. Mazel tov.
I'm not saying it was the smartest idea, and you know, if somebody gets sick, I feel bad.
Yes.
I truly do.
Yes.
However, I give you credit.
Sweet.
You got married. You had the wedding you wanted to. You said, "Well, that you know, these people are probably a lot nicer than me. They probably didn't say fuck it like I would, but they did it." And then the governor was like, "How did this happen?" Well. It happened, and I love it. So those were great, Darren. You know, in closing, I just want to say we're all We're all from different backgrounds. We're all different ages and different families. We all have different reasons for where we got to where we're at today. But let's not forget what this week is about. And this week is truly about being grateful. And it's being grateful for your family. It's selfishly being grateful for some time off work. You get several days off. It's a holiday weekend. And whether you choose to travel, whether you choose to stay home, whether you choose to gather as a big family, it's your choice. It really is. And as I've said before many, many times, you deal with the consequences of those choices, and that part is fine. But it's your choice. And so just be grateful that you are alive. Be grateful for the time you had with loved ones, not only this week, but if you've lost anybody in the past year. And do yourself a favor. I started on Sunday, I think, and I have made a commitment to myself. I am absolutely not going to turn on and listen to any of the national news, the reporters, the pundits, their agendas, their narratives, their opinions. If I want to see the news, I'll watch the Weather Channel because they're actually pretty sharp. I will watch I'm sure everybody around the country has great local reporters that will tell you what's going on in your city, town, or community. But do yourself a favor. Just stay away. If you like football, there's some great football games on tomorrow. There's going to be, guess what? Christmas movies will be starting. Watch Home Alone. Watch Die Hard.
Yeah.
Make it a good weekend. It is your choice to do it. You do not have to be beaten down by the opinions and the words of just all these epically stupid, narcissistic, disgusting people that we are forced to be at the mercy of right now. So just be grateful. There's so many things I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for this podcast. Robin, you're amazing.
Right,
I love
you
to death. Darren, I am incredibly grateful not only for that you're my co-host. I would never do anything like this without you and only you, but I am especially grateful for the adversity that you recently went through, the adversity you've gone through in the past. I know you have a lot more to think about tomorrow than most people.
Right back
you really do. And we're very different. You and I are good friends, but we've led very different lives. I have not lost a son. I have not killed somebody in the line of duty. You have not caught on fire. My mother-in-law just died.
Bless your heart.
3 days ago.
Bless your heart.
All of our families are going through different things. But find what you're grateful for, because there's always something, and that's what this week is about. Truly, it is. Be grateful. Do not miss out on that opportunity, because you can really, you can come out of this week, start work next Monday, Tuesday, feeling a little bit better about yourself. You can be the change within yourself, within your own backyard, and within your close circle. You can be the change. You do not have to be the person that brings others down. Build people up. Wake up tomorrow and make today, tomorrow, better than when you found it. God bless all of you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We wish you all the best. Enjoy whatever you are eating. I will tell you right now that I would like to shove this right in the face of Gavin Newsom, who went to the $1,000 meal French Laundry. I am going to have Thanksgiving dinner at Cracker Barrel tomorrow.
Woo-hoo.
So Gavin Newsom, fuck you. And I'm going to sit there and eat without my mask on, just like you did, and you're not going to tell me that I can't do it. That's what my Thanksgiving is going to be. Not going to be around family, unfortunately, but do what 2020 calls for, right?
Yeah.
2021 will be better. Don't let the pain of today blind you from the promise of tomorrow. God bless. We'll see you all next week.
Batch Boys. Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide Networks and all mobile devices.
Badge Boys.